You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
I probably don't need to remind you, but over the past few weeks, we've seen in our nation school shootings in Minnesota and in Colorado. We've seen a woman brutally murdered on a train in North Carolina. We've seen the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I've seen law enforcement killed in Pennsylvania. And even in our own city, in Chicago, going back just to Labor Day, we had 58 shootings with 8 persons killed. We live in a society that devalues human life. And we shouldn't be surprised by that. If we are telling people that we are nothing more than evolved animals, we shouldn't be surprised if people act just like animals act toward one another, because ideas have consequences. But not only that, we have been called a culture of death. And there are those who are striving to influence within our society a move toward not only making it defensible, but even considering it right and responsible to seek people to take their own life or to take the lives of those who are innocent. This morning, as we look at the 5th and 6th commandments, the commandment to honor father and mother and the commandment to not murder, we will see that there is a connection between these two commandments, and you might think of it even like this. Who is it who likely taught you when you were a little child that you weren't supposed to hit somebody just because they wouldn't give you a toy, and you weren't to verbally assault and abuse others when you didn't get your way? It was likely your parents, or perhaps your grandparents. As we look at our society, there is a rejection of authority, and there has been now for several generations, and so we should not be surprised that there is a devaluing of human life. The two go hand in hand. But what that means for us as Christians is that within this culture of death, we must be different. We must truly honor authority, and we must be a people who truly honor life, so that others within our culture get a glimpse of what eternal life will look like in the kingdom of Jesus Christ forever. And so my main idea for us, as we're going to look at Exodus 20, is that as the people of the sovereign living Christ, we ought to honor our parents, and we are to honor human life. And before we jump into our passage, Jesus summed up all of the commandments of God in 2 commandments. He said, you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is, with all that you are and in all that you do. And then he said, the second is like it. We are to love our neighbor as yourself. So those two sum up God's commandments for us. We are to love God and love others. You know, as we come to the 5th and 6th commandments, the 5th commandment has been traditionally seen as a transitional commandment between loving God and loving others. And then we see in the 6th through 9th commandments, that we are prohibited from taking somebody else's life, somebody else's wife, somebody else's stuff, or somebody else's reputation or freedom. Put it positively, we're to respect our neighbor's life, our neighbor's family, our neighbor's property, and our neighbor's reputation and freedom. And so traditionally, there has been, we have taken these two, these commandments to be split up in two quite simply, to say, okay, the first four are really about loving God, the next six are about loving neighbor, and there's some truth to that. But traditionally, there's been this transition from the first table or tablet of the law to the second tablet of the law. And so if you've ever seen a picture of Moses carrying the Ten Commandments, maybe think back to Sunday school for some of you, you have written on one tablet the first four or five commandments, and then you have written on the other tablet the other five or six commandments. I can tell you that is almost certainly inaccurate. See, in Exodus 32, verse 15, we're told that the two tablets were actually written on both sides, front and back. And the two stone tablets actually were probably copies. So they both probably had all 10 commandments, all 10 words on them. See, that's how it was with the ancient suzerain vassal treaties, after which the 10 words were taken. And so the king, or in this case God, had one tablet, and there was a copy then for the vassal. There was a copy for Israel. In the case of Israel, both of them were in the ark and then stored in the sanctuary. Why does that even matter? It's important because we need to be clear. God's Torah, God's law, his commandments can't be neatly separated. You see, you can't say, well, I'm going to love God and not love my neighbor. I'm going to love my neighbor and not love God. No, the two go hand in hand. And if you don't do one, you don't do the other. Likewise, you can't say something like, well, you know, if I keep 6 out of 10 commandments, I'm doing pretty good. Or 8 out of 10, hey, 80%. No, as James tells us in James 2, verses 8 through 11, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all. Get that. If you get 9 out of 10 commandments, you get an F. Why? Because there's only one law giver. He is indivisible, and so his law is indivisible. James goes on to say, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Or if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. Now, as New Covenant Christians, we need to be reminded we are not under the old covenant. But Jesus didn't come to abrogate, he didn't come to repeal the law. Rather, Jesus came to fulfill and establish the law. So though we are not under the old covenant, we are yet to obey God. We are to love God and love our neighbor. And so in the law, we do get a concrete demonstration of what it means for us to love God and love neighbors. And so it's helpful. It teaches us in that way. And as Christians, because we have the Spirit of Christ in us, because we have been born again, we're new creation, we are able to walk in obedience to God. With that in mind, let's look at the fifth and sixth words in Exodus 20, starting in verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That's pretty simple and straightforward. What are we to do? You are to honor your father and mother. So God commands you to honor your parents, both father and mother. And that word honor in Hebrew is the word kabod, which is the same root as the word kabod. You see here they sound similar. Well, kabod is often translated as glorify, and it's used usually of God. And so, for instance, in Psalm 22, verse 23, we're commanded, you who fear the Lord, praise him. Then get this, all you offspring of Israel or of Jacob, what are you to do? You're to glorify him. And so what Moses is telling Israel, what God was telling Israel, is that they were to glorify their father and mother. And the word glorify, we need to understand what it really means. Literally, it meant something was heavy or weighty. So to glorify or to honor your parents means that you consider them to be heavy or weighty. Now, not in the sense of overweight, but rather in the sense of having weight in your life. So think of it this way. Today we might say of somebody, well, his opinion carries a lot of weight around here. In other words, he's honored, and so we listen to what he has to say. It's the same for us with our parents. We aren't just to write them off. The opposite of honoring your parents, of course, would be to dishonor them, or you may think of it in terms of treating them with contempt, disrespecting them, or even mistreating them. Well, God told Israel to take that very seriously. In Exodus 21, verse 15, we read, whoever strikes, that is, whoever mistreats his parents in that way, shall be put to death. Again, verse 17, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. God took this seriously. Why is God so serious about us honoring our parents? Well, because if you dishonor your parents, you're dishonoring the God who chose for them to be your father and mother. In fact, dishonoring your parents is the height of ingratitude. And after all, God used them to bring you into the world. He gave you life through them. I mean, even if your parents weren't good parents, God used them to provide for you, to protect you. And so we are to honor our parents. So though it's through your parents that you learn to honor others in authority as well. It's through your parents ultimately that you're learning what it looks like to honor anyone, including to honor God. As Augustine of Hippo said, the 5th century Christian thinker, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will not spare? You know, Israel needed to take this seriously because those who dishonored their parents were actually a danger to society, and their rebellious attitude would spread like cancer. Pastor Jerry Vines says, and I think he's right, show me a nation where there is disobedience to parents, and I will show you a nation that has foundations that are crumbling. As God's people, we are called to be different, just as Israel was. We look around at our nation, we are in a nation that doesn't honor parents. We are to be different because we represent God. Well, God, notice, didn't just, you know, give this command to Israel. He didn't even give it to them with a warning. Hey, honor your parents or else. Now notice God gave them a glorious promise. Honor your father and mother. Why? It's for your own benefit. It's that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy 5:16 says it this way. It's so that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord is giving you. The land that they were getting was a gift of God, and it was tied to God's covenant promises. It wasn't something that Israel somehow deserved. And so if they were going to live under God's blessing in the land, they needed to live God's way, keeping his covenant. And their life would be long in the land. God would keep his promise. Now, let me be clear. This promise is generally true. It's much like a proverb. So you can't look at somebody who, you know, you look at their gravestone and they died early and say, oh, they must have been dishonoring their father and mother. That's why they died so young. I recently read the book Seasons of Sorrow by Christian author Tim Challies, who lost his son Nick when he was only 20 years old. He describes Nick, he was really a poster child for a child who did honor his father and mother. He was actually studying for the ministry when all of a sudden he died. So it wasn't because he dishonored his parents. And so this is generally true. But even think about today. You know, studies have shown that those who honor and obey their parents' authority end up being more successful in life generally. Generally, they live longer. Generally, they don't use drugs. Generally, they don't end up in prison. So parents and grandparents, that means we have a big responsibility, don't we? We are to teach our children, our grandchildren, to honor their parents. We must teach it. We must model it for them. In fact, this is how God designed it to be, going all the way back to Genesis 18, verse 19, where God explains his purpose for choosing Abraham. He says, I have chosen Abraham that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he had promised him. So God tied these promises to keeping the covenant. But as we think of this commandment to honor father and mother, be honest with yourself. Have you always honored your father and your mother? You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we all have broken this commandment. We all have dishonored our parents. Maybe it was when you were a child. I mean, children learn right away a two-letter word that they love to use. No. Daddy and mommy say, hey, go do this. No. Your daddy and mommy, you know, tell you to do something and you don't do it. The Bible has a word for that. It's called disobedience. It's sin is what it is. It's coming from our hearts that are in rebellion. Or maybe as you grew up, you spoke disrespectfully of your parents with your friends or perhaps even as a teenager. Your parents told you, be home by this time. You break your curfew. What are we doing? We're dishonoring our parents and we're dishonoring God. You say, well, everybody does it. Well, that doesn't excuse it. In fact, what it does is shows that we are all sinners who desperately need a Savior. Your disobedience goes all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. Adam's called the son of God. Well, what did he do? He disobeyed his father in the garden and ate of the fruit. Instead, he and Eve chose a very different father. They chose the serpent to be their father. They listened and obeyed the serpent. And ever since then, we're all dead in sin. And so we are children of the devil from birth. Why? Because like father, like son. And so we act like the devil. As Jesus told those who were trying to kill him in John 8, verse 44, He says, you are of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Thankfully, in contrast to Adam and in contrast to all of us, there's Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, it tells us very simply that Jesus obeyed his father and mother. At every point, Jesus always obeyed his parents. He always honored his parents. But not only did Jesus honor his earthly parents, Jesus honored and obeyed his heavenly Father, as we're told in Philippians chapter 2, even to the point of death on a cross. Well, why would Jesus, the one who actually obeyed his parents and honored his parents, why should Jesus die the death that those who disobeyed and dishonor their parents deserve? It wasn't for his own sake, but for ours. Where Jesus was dying in our place because we've dishonored and disobeyed our parents and dishonored God. Well, now Jesus is risen and he is Lord. He is exalted with the name above every name. Why? So that if you put your trust in Jesus, God will count you as if you perfectly honored and obeyed your parents. And then in Christ, God gives you his Holy Spirit to enable us to be people who obey, people who honor our father and mother. So what does it look like as God's people to honor our parents? For those of you who are kids still in your home, probably, you know, under 18, Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Likewise, show gratitude to your parents, regularly saying to them, thank you for what they're doing. Don't speak disrespectfully of them. And if you sin against them, confess your sin first to God and then also to your parents. But you know, this commandment wasn't given primarily to children who were under 18 in Israel. It was actually given to all Israelites. You see, as long as our parents are alive, we're to honor them. Even when they're in the grave, we're to honor them. As Paul tells Timothy in the context of a church caring for widows, he says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness in their own household, to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. Then he goes on to say in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so we're to continually honor our parents. And by doing so, we honor God. But it even goes beyond that. Through learning to honor our parents, we learn to honor others who are in authority. As Paul says in Romans 13:7, we are to give honor to whom honor is owed. As Peter says in 1 Peter 2, we are to honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. So we are to learn to honor authority as God's people. We learn to do so by learning to honor father and mother. Well, that then brings us to the sixth word. In verse 13, it says, you shall not murder. Short, simple, to the point. God is calling you to honor the life of your neighbor. And the word murder is a better word here than just you shall not kill, because this isn't just saying don't kill in any way. Sometimes that actually is necessary. No, this commandment is talking about taking human life without God's sanction. And this is grounded in having a biblical view of humanity. And so in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, all the way at the beginning of the Bible, we are told that God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Every human being is an image bearer of God. No matter who they are, no matter what they look like, no matter where they're from, no matter whether they have all their faculties working or not, every human being is an image bearer of God. So the reason why God said that we are not to murder is because it is a direct attack on God's image. In other words, it's a direct assault on God's very reign and dominion. We see Western society becoming increasingly secularized, moving away from a biblical view of humanity. You know, we're not moving away from religion. We're actually moving right back into ancient paganism. In ancient Near Eastern paganism, as commentator Mark Rooker explains, people were utilitarian. And so murder was prohibited, but it was prohibited because humans had economic value to the gods. And so if you killed somebody, if you murdered somebody, if their family were willing, all that you had to do was pay a ransom price, and you could go your way. Well, not so in the Bible. In the Bible, if somebody murdered another person, that person was to be put to death in Israel. Why? Because murder was a direct assault on God's image bearers. And so this commandment, this sixth commandment, is not against capital punishment. In fact, capital punishment goes back to Genesis 9, verse 6, where it says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." In other words, if you're going to have any sort of society in which people can thrive and multiply and have dominion, there has to be justice. You can't just let murderers run free. Likewise, this commandment isn't against war per se. In fact, war in certain circumstances, think of World War II, actually protects and restores life and peace rather than taking it. So Israel was to be holy, set apart to God, and it's the same for us. In the midst of a wicked generation that doesn't respect authority, in a wicked generation that doesn't respect humans' life, we as God's people are to truly be a pro-life people, both in what we are against, but also in what we are for and in what we do. So what does this commandment prohibit? Well, certainly it would prohibit homicide. It would even, I believe, prohibit the glamorization of homicide that we see in so much music and so many movies today. Likewise, it would prohibit abortion. You know, the 2025 State of Theology report has come out. I'm glad to say 88% of evangelical Christians agree that abortion is a sin. So from conception throughout life, every human being is an image bearer of God. So this is why I'm glad as a congregation, we're actually going to be partnering with an organization called Love Life coming up on November the 8th. And I've got to correct our date. We had that one wrong. November the 8th. It's a Saturday. We're going to join Love Life for a walk downtown around the abortion facility there. We're going to be walking around just praying. You don't have to engage with anybody. We're just praying and learning what happens there. And so I would invite you to join with us. Because you see, Love Life isn't just anti-abortion. No, it is an organization. They want to help families to choose life. And they want to support those families as they do so. But even more than that, their goal is to proclaim the gospel to them. And to help them to be disciples of Jesus. So I'm excited. Again, that's coming up November the 8th. Well, this commandment also prohibits suicide or euthanasia, often called assisted suicide. It would prohibit kidnapping or human trafficking. In fact, in Israel, Exodus 21 verse 16 says, whoever steals a man and sells him, anyone found in possession of him shall be put to death. Why? Because he's really taken the life of another person. This commandment would prohibit vigilante justice. It would also prohibit any sort of vengeance. And that would include road rage. So the reality is, we probably all have done just that in some form or another. You see, it's not merely the physical act of murder that God was ultimately against. It was after our hearts, our attitudes. As Jesus points out in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verse 21, he says, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Did you get that? An insult is sufficient. Now, Jesus isn't saying here, don't get him wrong, well, if you hate somebody, you might as well just go and off them because, well, you're going to be guilty of murder anyways. No, that's not what he's saying at all. Likewise, Jesus isn't saying that murder and insulting someone are equally weighted as sin. No, but he is saying both are sin. Both of them violate this commandment. Why? Because ultimately it's coming from our hearts. Matthew 15, 19, Jesus says, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. To give us a little help of what this looks like, I think the 16th century Lutheran catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, gives us some help. It asks, does this commandment, that is the sixth commandment, speak only of killing? And the answer is that by forbidding murder, God teaches us that he hates the root of murder, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that he regards all these as murder. Likewise, in 1 John 3:15, John tells us everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Did you get that? Have you ever insulted anyone? Have you ever hated anyone? I know I have many times. By the biblical standard, I'm a murderer. I think it's safe to say we all are. But holiness isn't just about what we don't do. It's also about what we do. It's not just enough to not harm others. Jesus says we're to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. The Heidelberg Catechism, again, is helpful when it says, is it enough then that we do not kill our neighbor in any such way? It goes on to answer, no. When God condemns envy, hatred, and anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, gentleness, mercy, and friendliness toward him, to protect him from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. In ancient Israel, this looked like if an ox was known for goring people, it was to be locked up or killed. Likewise, when an Israelite was building a new house, according to Deuteronomy 22:8, when you build a new house, you shall make a parapet, that is a wall or a guardrail for your roof, that you do not bring the guilt of blood upon your house if anyone should fall from it. So as God's people, we are to not be negligent. That would include with firearms, that would include with our cars. You know, take care of your car. Don't drive a car on the road if it's unsafe. Likewise, don't be an unsafe driver. That would include from anything from intoxication or being high to as you get older or as you have medical conditions. Why? Because we are to be a pro-life people. As God's people, we are to care for widows and orphans and those in need. And I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but that does mean that as we see our neighbors who are here, even if they are here illegally, we need to treat them with love as our neighbor. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek our government to uphold our laws or to protect our borders, but it does mean that we as Christians have to treat everyone as neighbors who we love. And that begins right here in this room. We are to be a people who seek reconciliation with others, with one another. Matthew 5, in the context of not murdering, Jesus goes on to say, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. As Paul would say in Romans 12, we are to leave vengeance to God. We are not to be overcome by evil, but we are to be a people who overcome evil with good. And yes, that means that we are to do good to those who persecute us. We are to do good to those who shoot us. And we are to do good to those who celebrate when Christians are shot. We are not to return evil because we are a pro-life people in every single way. So brothers and sisters, that even goes to how we interact on social media. Let us not join in our culture of death. Instead, as Jesus says in Matthew 5, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and love your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Think about it. God, Jesus says, causes the sun to rise on the good and the wicked. He causes it to rain on the good and the unjust. He says, if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the Gentiles, even the tax collectors do that. We are to be a people who love others because we love and honor life. Think of Jesus, the one who is the judge of all. Did Jesus call for them to exact, for God to exact every last cent of our debt of sin? Did Jesus call for us to drink every last drop of the wrath of God? Did Jesus call for our blood to be shed? No, instead, Jesus shed his own blood on the cross for us. Jesus drank the wrath of God to the final drop for us. Jesus, our great Savior, paid every last cent of the debt of sin we owe. And so we are thus to be ministers of reconciliation with others. Today, if you haven't, trust in Jesus. Be forgiven. Be reconciled to God. And if you have, as Christ's people, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have God's word to direct us. Let us be a people who honor our parents. Let us be a people who honor life. Let me ask you, what step do you need to take to honor your parents or to honor life this week?